All right, let's do this. Let's go. Ah, yes. Yes. Shout out to Kidnap the God for the beat. You know we gotta let this rock for a second. Get the vibes up, get the vibes flowing. We're gonna have some fun today, baby. We're gonna have some fun, we're gonna have some fun. Here we go. Welcome to the Talk About Podcast. I'm your host, TW. I know you have so many choices for your entertainment. So whoever you are and wherever you may be, thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with me. Yes, 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 yes. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. And Monday Night Raw was last night, right? Monday Night Raw was last night. Everybody loved Monday Night Raw. We got something special on Monday Night Raw. We got something special that we don't get all the time. We got something that it felt fun. It felt real. It felt exciting. I will say one thing right now. The road to WrestleMania is supposed to feel special. It's supposed to feel different every year. And this year feels very different from last year. Last year, there was all the excitement around the Bloodline story and who Roman would actually face, and, you know, would it be Cody? Had Cody done enough to earn it? You know, had would Sami Zayn be the one to dethrone Roman? Would we get The Rock versus Roman? There were so many directions that the story could have gone this time last year, and, you know, we ended up getting what we got. But the point is that the build was so much fun. The build to WrestleMania, and that's what it's all about. It's all about getting you excited. Whether or not they deliver once they get there is a whole nother thing, and I would argue that last year's WrestleMania delivered in spades, right? Like, it was an absolutely excellent show, no matter how you want to look at it. Like, that show was excellent, phenomenal, just great, great, great show. But it's the build, right? It's the build that creates the excitement for the show you're getting ready to see. And right now, we're on a different type of build, but it still feels very exciting. Very exciting. And that's what we're here for, right? We're here for the excitement to entertain us, right? I've been counting down, all right? We got 7 more SmackDowns and 6 more Monday Night Raws between now and the Royal Rumble. And things are starting to take shape, right? We're starting to get a better idea of what the Royal Rumble is going to look like, which means we got a better idea of what WrestleMania is going to look like. That's right. That's right. We are all looking forward to how this WrestleMania card is going to shape out. And it's looking to be a spectacular one. And we got one of the biggest pieces of this WrestleMania puzzle really starting to come into focus with what we got last night. Last night, we got an epic face-off between CM Punk and Seth Rollins. And this was great stuff, man. This was great, great stuff. Punk came in riding the high off the momentum of that SmackDown promo, which everybody loved, because I think a lot of people felt like that SmackDown promo was the promo they were hoping to get when Punk went on Monday Night Raw 2 weeks ago, right? The after he debuted at Survivor Series, they were hoping to get an amazing promo, but they put Punk's segment at the end of the show 2 weeks ago. Didn't have time. I think the previous match ran long, so they didn't have enough time for Punk to do his thing. But he sure did his thing on SmackDown. Had everybody talking. Then he's been playing up on this whole, what brand will I sign with, right? So he goes to SmackDown, cuts the great promo. Then he shows up at NXT as if he was going to sign at NXT. Come on, give me a break. That was never going to happen. And then he comes on Monday night, right? So we get Monday night, and he's going to make his choice to sign on Monday Night Raw. He listened to the promo that Punk cut. He's clearly presenting himself as a babyface. He apologized. That was something I thought I would never see. When Punk said, he said to everyone, he was running down the, leading up to his announcement, He was running down his history of being in, I believe they were in Cleveland. And he talked about debuting. And he debuted, he had Mickey James as his valet. And then he said that went so well that they sent me down to OVW, right? Then he talks about the Elimination Chamber. I still remember that because I was actually watching that show. The Elimination Chamber match where Punk went into the match as the champion, but he never actually competed in the match because they had Randy Orton kick Punk in the head on the way into the match. And so Punk never competed in the match, but his title was still on the line in the Elimination Chamber match. So the way Punk tells the story, he said, Randy kicked me in the head. When I woke up, they told me I was stripped of the title and, you know, there was a new champion, right? Then he talks about the infamous walking out after the Royal Rumble. And he did something that I honestly never thought he would do. He said, I apologize. He said, I apologize. And like, that was a shocking moment to me. For all of the shock value that may have come from anything else that happened in this segment, Punk looking in the camera and saying, I apologize. The way he said it, he said that as a wrestling fan, if you felt betrayed, he said, I understand because when I saw Rowdy Piper show up on WCW TV, I felt betrayed. And he said that he was approached by a young lady named Indy backstage. I'm guessing this is Indy Hartwell. And she, you know, told him that that's how she had felt. She felt betrayed when he left, which I think that feels so weird, right? I think that because you got to learn to separate the personal from the professional, right? Like I could boo somebody as a talent, right? But like, there's a line, right? There's a line between the show and what's real, what's real life, right? So I will never fault somebody for doing what they need to do, like as a human. If you're like, yo, this workplace is like toxic, it's driving me crazy, I need to leave. Even if as a fan, if you're my favorite performer, as a human, I'm gonna understand and respect that you're doing what you gotta do so you can live, right? That makes sense to me. But it reminds me of something that I read in one of JTG's books. Shout out to JTG. He wrote two fun books. I think it's called Why Did I Write This Book and Why Did I Write This Book Too. They're both a lot of fun. Go check those out. But he said something in one of his books. He said, backstage is the biggest collection of marks you're ever going to meet. And what he meant by that is that the people who become wrestlers, for the most part, are people who love wrestling so much and were so passionate about it that they're willing to go through what it takes to become wrestlers. And it's cool that Punk talked about hearing this from Indy, and I guess that made it more relatable to him, right? Because he put himself in the shoes of a wrestling fan who felt betrayed by what he saw from one of his heroes, and he said, I apologize. And I'm not gonna lie, I was shocked. I was shocked. So he goes through his whole spiel. Then he tells, who's the general manager? What's this guy's name? Adam Pearce. He tells Adam Pearce, congratulations, you got your newest superstar, and his name is CM Punk. Okay, after he does that, Seth Rollins' music hits, Seth Rollins comes out, and Seth Rollins had a very, you know, when Seth Rollins usually comes down to the ring, very playful, right? Doing his thing, you know, the faces, the dancing all the way down the aisle. And, you know, he's very much like in full-time show mode the whole time. This version of Rollins coming down to the ring for this segment seemed much more serious. It seemed like whatever was about to happen was much more serious to Seth Rollins. And so you just got the feeling that this was different. You got the feeling that what you were about to see from Seth was going to be just not your normal Seth that you see on a Monday in and Monday out basis because of the person standing in the ring, right? Because of the person standing in the ring, because of the situation that was happening, you got the feeling that what was happening, what was about to go down was going to be a different version of Seth than what you are used to. So Seth comes out and Seth cut an absolutely great promo. He told Punk, you walked out, you've been running me down, and you've been actively trying to tear this place down for the past 10 years. He said, don't ever say this is your home. This is my home, right? And he said, me, all the people who work here, all the fans here, all the people at home, he said, this is our home. And he told Punk, don't ever say this is your home. And he basically cut the same promo that Hangman Page cut on Punk, which seemed weird and out of nowhere before their match at the pay-per-view where Page lost the title to Punk. But this seemed to feel so much more personal. And I think the reason why it seemed to feel so much more personal is because as much as wrestling fans hate on Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins is the wrestling fan. Like, he's out here doing the work of wrestling fans. Even way back, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but even way back during the botched Will Ospreay Twitter beef, Seth Rollins was doing the work of the fans. He's talking like somebody who is a dedicated, loyal WWE fan. That's what's coming out of his mouth. That's the thoughts and feelings he's expressing. And so you would think people would be behind him on that, right? But so Seth tells Punk, don't ever say this is your home. This is my home. And this is where he kind of hit home. This is where he felt like he kind of cut a little personal. He said, you know it and I know it. This is your last chance. He said, either you're going to self-destruct and destroy your legacy, or you'll get lucky enough to get in the ring with me and I'll show you what the best in the world looks like up close. Ladies and gentlemen, that was fire. That was fire. That was flames. Seth Rollins delivered that promo and he felt like he meant every word. It felt like he meant every word that he was saying. And so here's the good thing. Here's the cool thing is that they didn't put hands on each other, and I don't think they will put hands on each other. I think they're going to just, little jabs, little barbs here and there. Like, I don't think they're going to get into any fights. I think they're going to just, they're going to stay far apart. And this really sets the stage for what may feel predictable, but we still really, really want it, which is for CM Punk to win the Royal Rumble and to challenge Seth Rollins in the main event of WrestleMania, particularly on night one, because we already know night two is reserved for someone else. Okay, can't really. It is what it is. We don't make the rules, and we all know who's getting that spot. So,
acknowledge me.
So, here's what I thought was very interesting about this. Right, as much as CM Punk loves Bret Hart, in this situation, CM Punk is Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Seth Rollins is 1996 Bret Hart. Seth Rollins is, 90, maybe was it 97 Bret Hart? But whenever it was that Stone Cold was heating up and Bret Hart really started having a problem with the idea that he was there all the time doing the right thing, wrestling hard, trying to be a man's man, a champion for the fans. And here comes this guy saying ass like it's going out of style and everyone loves him. Bret Hart was like, how dare you? How dare you? And that's what Seth Rollins is. Seth Rollins right now is Bret Hart then. Because as much as CM Punk might have this reputation of a guy who walked out on WWE and a guy who, talked bad about the company and all this other stuff, the fans right now, listen to the fans. They love him. The fans love CM Punk right now. Drew McIntyre mentioned CM Punk in the opening segment where he was talking to Jey Uso. And what did the fans do? They started chanting, CM Punk, CM Punk. Okay? The people right now, they want CM Punk. CM Punk is their hero. So here's what I would like to see from Seth Rollins. I want to see Seth Rollins skip the pleasantries and just go heel. Go heel, go heel, go heel right now. I know Seth's been trying extra hard to be the good guy. He's been trying extra hard to be the good guy. He's been doing everything to go above and beyond and give you the hero that you want. He's on every show wrestling while your other champion is off getting bottle service and working on his biceps. Seth Rollins is in the ring every week, putting his body on the line, cutting promos, making all the towns to give the people a champion they can see. He's taking on all the matches, all the comers. He wants to face everybody, give people some shine. He is being the wrestling fan's wrestler. He's doing everything to give you what you want. And what are you doing? You're cheering CM Punk. You're cheering CM Punk. You want CM Punk. CM Punk is the person you want to see more than anyone get to the main event of WrestleMania. How do you think that makes Seth Rollins feel? I mean, listen, we're talking about a guy who has not been shy about what he feel he deserves because of the work he puts in. So Seth Rollins is not a guy who is going to look lightly to the idea of being cast aside or moved down the card or minimized at all in any way for somebody who hasn't been here putting in the work. And you can say what you want, like CM Punk is a draw. This is absolutely true. I'm not downplaying CM Punk. I'm not saying CM Punk shouldn't be in that spot. As a matter of fact, I'll say CM Punk absolutely should be in that spot. And to be honest with you, if you want to do the biggest WrestleMania match you can do, it's CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. I know. Finish the story, all of that. But the biggest match you could do is CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. And look, it feels like they have a plan and we're on track towards these two particular main events. It feels like the courses are set, and right now we just have to watch it play out. That's how it feels. But I said it before and I will say it again. At some point between now and Royal Rumble, they are going to put CM Punk in the ring with Roman Reigns. And when they do, pay close attention to how people react. Pay close attention to your social media feeds. Pay close attention to what people are saying and how much people are fan booking this out on their own. Because I think that with enough fan momentum that Cody Rhodes could be out and CM Punk could be in. I think it's a thing. I think it's possible. So we shall see where that's going. Night one of WrestleMania is, it's set up to be great no matter who it is, right? No matter who it is. But this feels like a great story. Like I said, it feels personal. And by the way, CM Punk should not be wrestling every week. CM Punk shouldn't be wrestling every other week. We saw in AEW how often CM Punk got hurt. You have to stretch out his usage, okay? Get the most out of him. Get him up there for promos. Maybe have him do a run-in, something. But CM Punk doesn't need to wrestle to the Royal Rumble. Maybe one warm-up match before that. Send him down to the PC. Let him work out with Carmelo, okay? Just to make sure he's in ring shape. But CM Punk does not need to be wrestling between now and the Royal Rumble. Keep him healthy so that he can get through the Royal Rumble. And then he doesn't need to be in the ring again until maybe Elimination Chamber. And then he doesn't need to be in the ring again until WrestleMania. Don't overuse CM Punk. He's not a spring chicken, okay? Give us the story that we want for these matches. In order to do that, you got to keep him healthy. So I don't want to see CM Punk out here wrestling anybody and everybody. I don't want to see CM Punk wrestling Drew Dan McIntyre. Which, by the way, Drew McIntyre is getting heated up for, I guess, another world title match. This is the heat up that nobody asked for, nobody wanted. But right now, they are doing something really interesting. Side note here. They're doing something really interesting on Monday Night Raw, where it feels like they're intentionally separating the contenders from the pretenders, right? They got Drew McIntyre, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Gunther. These are all guys who legitimately could be seen as the next world heavyweight champion. And what they've been doing the past couple of weeks is having guys beat other guys cleanly. And in particular, it's been Drew McIntyre. He's beat Sami Zayn. He's beat Jey Uso. I think he's beat Jey Uso twice in the last few weeks. God damn. Jesus. Like, Jey Uso's booking frustrates me. I'm not going to lie. Because you can see how over Jey Uso is. Right? I know people just like doing the hand thing or whatever. But they ride with him through his matches. The yeet. Yo, it's not nothing. It's not nothing. They're up for his matches. They're paying attention. They're live. They're with it. And his booking does not, it doesn't match. It doesn't match. They got Jey Uso out here doing jobs like freaking Raquel Gonzalez. Everybody beats her, right? And like, Jey Uso should be winning more in these main event matches. And he's not. He's not. And it doesn't make sense. So to me, it makes me feel like they're intentionally keeping Jey cool so that people don't start asking for him in the world title match, which is like, you know, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. I understand. You're creating a show. You got to control the narrative. You don't want fans to get too riled up for any one guy. So you control that by being like, yeah, we like this guy, but he's kind of a loser. But here's the problem is that at some point you're going to come back to that. At some point you're going to come back to that and you are going to want to use Jey Uso. I think Jey Uso should be the one to dethrone Gunther for the Intercontinental title. And then you can have the match with Jey and Jimmy be for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. And I think that'd be dope. I think that'd be great for everybody, all parties involved. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. All right. So real quick. If you guys are watching on YouTube, please hit that thumbs up button. Okay. For every view, I should have a matching like. There should be a like for every view on this page. Please hit the subscribe button so you subscribe to this channel. Definitely want to get my subscribers up. If you're listening to this on any podcast platform, hit the subscribe and hit and leave a 5-star rating, okay? If you're going to leave 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater, okay? And listen, the best thing you can always do is tell a friend to tell a friend, okay? All right, so back to it. My New York Jets. Yes. Let's go. Look, being a Jets fan is not easy, okay? Being a Jets fan is not easy at all. But this past week was an especially chaotic week for anybody and everybody who considers themselves a Jets fan. We had reluctant to play gate. We had text message radio host gate, right? and how did the Jets respond to what looked like the world crashing down on him? They came out and put the beats on the Texans. Yes, they dropped CJ Stroud, the rookie of the year, and the Houston Texans 30-3. 30-3. They came with it. It was an ugly game. It rained like a monsoon for the whole first half. Neither team could get anything going. But what Zach Wilson did, he came out and played the best game of his career. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for that boy. Being an NFL quarterback has been too much for him. But somehow, some way, he came out and played the best game of his career ever. 301 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He did have a fumble, but whatever. It was raining. We'll let it pass, okay? Now, because I'm a Jets fan, I'm obviously not that mentally or emotionally stable. So obviously, I'm thinking, what could this possibly mean? Now, listen, look, the Jets, they're 5-8. They're 5-8. Nobody is even, when they put up that graphic for the playoff picture, nobody's even saying the Jets are in the hunt. But guess what happened on Monday Night Football? The Dolphins, who were 9-3, they lost. That's right. The Dolphins lost. And so the Dolphins are now 9-4. And there's four games left. So just hear me out. What if the Jets have found a rhythm? What if the Dolphins are spiraling down? What if the Dolphins don't win another game this season? And what if the Jets win out? Sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy. But if you got the Jets at 9-8 and the Dolphins at 9-8, and they've split the season series, the Jets are going to have a shot. I know. I sound crazy. They had like a 5-game losing streak. I know. The coach is getting his text messages read on the radio. Okay, like, I know. Zach Wilson's reluctant to go back in the game. I know. I get it. But somehow, some way, we are here. Listen, I deal in facts. And the fact is, right now, today, the Jets are sitting at 5-8. And if they win out, it will include a win over the Dolphins. And if we get to the end of the season and the Dolphins are 9-8 and the Jets are 9-8, anything is possible! Let's go, baby. All right, back to wrestling. So, if you guys have been following me at all, you know that I'm a fan of Impact Wrestling. I've been watching TNA since, it was like 2006, 2007, maybe 2006, 2008, something like that. But I've been following the show for a long time, right? And so, whatever, I still watch it. It is what it is. I like wrestling. I watch anything that's called wrestling. I watch Lucha Underground, Wild Superheroes. Like, I've watched just about anything that's called wrestling at least once. So I still watch Impact/TNA, and Impact made the big announcement at the end of their Bound for Glory show that they were dropping the Impact Wrestling name and they were going back to their old name, TNA. And people were so excited. This was a big, big deal. And previously, they had done an Impact, I think, 1,000th episode anniversary show. And lots of people came out for that show. Great crowd. You know, anytime they do anything that has the TNA name around it, it would always drum up a bunch of nostalgia for people who kind of grew up on that show. Now, here's the thing. They had to change away from the TNA name at some point because the brand name was so damaged because of just all the bad press they were receiving, right? Like, that TNA brand name was shot. So changing to Impact Wrestling, I thought, was a good strategic move. And it worked, and they did it for a while. People have still been chanting TNA everywhere they go. So they decided, hey, we need a shot in the arm. We need something for some good press. Let's rebrand, and let's go back to the TNA name, and let's see if we can get some momentum going behind this company. So they did that, right? Everyone was excited. But here's the problem. They haven't followed that up with anything. They haven't followed that up with anything to keep the momentum going. And I think that the plan at that moment was that they were hoping for some sort of big signing to boost the momentum. I think they were hoping that nobody else wanted CM Punk and that they could sign CM Punk. I think they were hoping they could make a great pitch to make Will Ospreay the head ornament of their organization, and they could sign him. I think that's what they were hoping for, but both of those things fell through. Neither of them has happened. And as of right now, their big TNA rebrand event, which is set for January 13th at the Palms Casino in Las Vegas, at the Palms in Las Vegas, the tickets aren't, they're not moving. They're not, I mean, you know, so here's the thing. They got the place set up for 1,180 people, right? Solid crowd if they can get it. As of right now, they only got 647 tickets out. Now, I say only 647 tickets. That's still a good amount of tickets, especially compared to how they've been, you know, selling for the past few years. But they got the place set up for 1,180 people, right? So that's 533 available tickets as of today. So they got some work to do, right? They better figure out something. They better figure it out fast. This is not the way you want to start off the new era of TNA by having it look a lot like the old era of TNA when at some point people just didn't give a damn, okay? So hopefully they can do some good promotional videos. They can announce some matches that sound fun. They can announce some sort of appearances that will get people excited to get in the door. Or they just better pray for a great walk-up because, again, if January 13th, Hard to Kill, is going to be the start of a new era for TNA, then you want to be doing a lot better business-wise than they were doing in the last era of TNA. All right, one more quick thing I want to get to. There was a controversy this past week that took place on Twitter, but you know, it was kind of real world too. I think it was innocent, but it wasn't, right? So the WWE on Fox account tweeted out a picture of Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits with the caption, Dem Boys, Dembowyz, okay? And this was, you know, this was certainly not something that was done to try and, you know, play anyone or to embarrass anyone or anything like that. But of course, because nothing in wrestling can just be, nothing can be nothing, right? Like everything has to be a big deal. People feel disrespected and, you know, everything has to be a big kerfuffle, okay? And the surviving Briscoe brother, I think Jay passed and Mark is alive. I apologize. Really, I mean, no disrespect by this. But the Briscoe brother, the living, surviving Briscoe brother, the bald head brother, the one with the beard, I believe that's the one, him. They both have beards. But the surviving Briscoe brother, he tweeted at Triple H. And basically, you know, he said that, you know, this is ignorance, you know, and basically giving Triple H crap for that tweet. Now, he wasn't the only one, okay? By the way, I don't think he was necessarily wrong for that, right? Like, he is defending the legacy of him and his brother and their tag team and, you know, everything they accomplished. Like, the legacy that they built in the wrestling business. So I don't blame him for speaking up. I don't blame him for saying something to, you know, to make sure that the name of Jay Briscoe is not disrespected, right? That the name of Mark Briscoe is respected. That the legacy of the Briscoes as a team, right, continues to be honored. Because a lot of people felt that was the best tag team in the world. Like, I've heard so much about those guys. I haven't seen a ton of Briscoe's matches, but I've talked to so many wrestling fans who love those guys, who think there's like, you know, who think they're like the greatest thing ever, okay? Now, I don't have a problem with him having a problem with it, okay? I don't. I do think a little humility could be used on his part. Where I do think there's a problem is all the people who jumped in it, right? Like the Maria Kanellis and the Mickey James. And by the way, I think sometimes in the world, I think people just jump in stuff to show support, right? Like you might jump in to you might put out a tweet that's attacking someone just for the purpose of showing that you're defending someone else who you care about. And I think that's kind of what it was, you know, by the other people who were just piling in with their opinions on this. Now, here's my stance on this. I got great respect for everybody, you know, who made Ring of Honor a special thing in the wrestling business that affected the wrestling business in a way that people will never forget, people have never forgotten, and Ring of Honor changed the wrestling business forever, right? Like, their legacy is cemented, and the Briscoes are a big part of that. But the reality is, small audience, okay? Small audience compared to WWE. WWE has fans who have never watched any wrestling other than WWE. WWE hires people to do their work who are not even wrestling fans. Product knowledge is preferred, but not required to do the knowledge, to do the work at WWE. A big company like ESPN, sports knowledge is preferred, but not required, okay? Just don't make any posts that are going to completely embarrass the company. Ring of Honor is a niche. It's a niche, however you want to say it. It's a small audience. It's a sub-audience of the wrestling audience. Not everybody knows who the Briscoes are. Not everybody has watched their work. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. No matter how great their work was, not everybody has watched it. And I'd be willing to bet that way more people know the phrase "them boys" from the Wiz Khalifa song. Hold up, hold up, hold up. We them boys. Okay, I bet you way more people know the phrase from that. I bet you way more people know the phrase from people using it for the Dallas Cowboys. We them boys, right? Every time the Cowboys lose, go down your timeline, you'll see somebody saying, "We just checking, are y'all still them boys?" Okay, like, wrestling, the wrestling bubble gets people really confused on what the rest of the world knows and doesn't know and is into and is not into. So for people in the wrestling bubble, right, I get it. I understand. If these guys are your friends and you're speaking up for them, like, that's fine. I get that. But here's the thing. Do you think that Triple H is quality checking every tweet that goes out from the WWE on Fox account? Especially the WWE on Fox account. Do you think that they have a person sitting next to Triple H in Gorilla going, "Hey, you like this tweet before I send it?" Come on, man. Come on. Be realistic. Be real. Have some humility. Have some humility. Like, give people a little bit of grace. You're coming at this man's neck over something he had nothing to do with. And I'm not the defender of Triple H, damn it. I'm not the defender of big corporations. But, like, come on, man. Like, give me a break. People have great respect for the Briscoes and what they accomplished in the wrestling world. We saw that when Jay Briscoe was killed in the car accident, and everyone was sad, and, you know, people did a lot to honor the Briscoes and their legacy, okay? People paid great respect to the Briscoes. And I don't know if the Briscoes have the phrase "them boys" trademarked or not, but even if it is, from a legal standpoint, because that's the thing, if you guys remember the story from last week about Jey Uso not being able to use the phrase "yeet," it was because another wrestler had the phrase trademark for purposes of marketing in the wrestling business or something like that. There's, like, specific verbiage about it. So there's a chance that the Briscoes may have the phrase "them boys" trademarked within the wrestling world. But there's a great chance, there's an even greater chance, that whoever runs the WWE on Fox social media account has never seen a Briscoe's match. I'm gonna just let that sit there. There's a great chance that whoever runs that account has never seen a Briscoe's match. And again, I'm not trying to run down the Briscoes or anything they accomplished, but have some humility about your shit. Like, don't go out here acting like, you know, people can't use a phrase that you use. Everybody don't know you, okay? Like, everybody don't know you. That's all I'm saying. I'm not gonna get too turned up because I'm not, it's not my fight, for one. But it's one thing that people gotta, again, just like have some humility, man. Have some humility. Like, everything's not about you. This is going out of your way to be offended by something that was not meant to offend you. That's what this is. And again, I'm not suggesting that, Mark Briscoe is being extra dramatic or whatever, but the reality is, if you just took a minute to stop and think about it, there was no disrespect intended here. Again, and I don't know the person who runs that account. For all I know, right, there's a chance that the person who runs that account is a lifelong Ring of Honor fan and they never liked the Briscoes, or they still had some ill feelings about some comments that the Briscoes have made back in the day, and they really just wanted to dig at the Briscoes. So let me just throw this out there. There's a chance that was possible, but there's a much, much, much greater chance that whoever made that tweet never has seen a Briscoes match, has never even heard of the Briscoes. And that's not to say that the Briscoes never accomplished anything. Not saying that. Before you want to jump out the window, not saying the Briscoes never accomplished anything, but when you start assuming that people should know your work, you open yourself up to get introduced to the reality about who does and doesn't know your work and why they would or wouldn't know your work. All right? So that's all I'm saying. Is just take a minute before you react. Just take a minute, step back, assess the situation, and ask yourself, do I want to go out and be publicly offended? Is this a hill I'm willing to die on? It is what it is. It is what it is. So much love to the Briscoes. God bless everybody involved in that situation. Really, there should be no harm, no foul, because there was no harm and there was no foul. All right. All right. That's all we got. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please, before you go, hit that like button, drop a rating, subscribe to the channel, drop a comment. Let me know what you think. If you agree or disagree with any of the stuff that I'm saying, please. If you really want to help the channel out, the best thing you could do is tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the conversation. Thank you guys so much. You guys are wonderful. You're amazing. I'll be back. I want to come back on Thursday nights and start doing a live post-impact review. But we'll see, because I need them to give me something to review. These past couple of weeks, they've been putting out some stuff that I just really have not. It just has not seemed like something I want to spend my time doing. But my plan is I want to get back to doing a live impact review on Thursdays. Just keep an eye on your tweets. If you see me post about it, then you'll know it's a thing. But yeah, until next time, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm TW. Peace.